In the biblical account of Job is embodied many of the problems, difficulties, and trials which confront humanity today, as they have in the past. It is the same mortal mind or devil of which Jesus spoke as a liar and the father of lies. The following account of Job and his experiences seems very appropriate today. Job was honest and honorable, a very pious man, expressing a great sense of human goodness. He was sincere and devoted to the worship of God, whom he felt had amply blessed him with a family and great wealth. Job had a great personal sense of self and a very material sense of substance. In Job we read, quote, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Close quote. This Satan of personality, human goodness, materiality, aggressive suggestion, is constantly walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it, presenting itself to us to be accepted or rejected. Job's time had come. He was stricken with a severe and painful disease. Satan argued that if he lost his material wealth, he would turn from God and curse him. The Bible relates that his children and all material wealth were taken from him, and he was sorely tried and afflicted. He was self-mesmerized and filled with self-pity. The church at that time believed that God was a great judge who became angry and condemned, punished, and afflicted man for his sins, and, on the other hand, rewarded on a material basis for his good deeds. The church was a system of laws, forms, ceremonies, with little spirituality or inspiration. The people believed in good and evil, and ate frequently of the forbidden fruit from the tree in the midst of the Garden of Eden. It was believed that God and Satan worked together. Do you find similar conditions of thought today? Do such thoughts argue to you aggressively? Job's three friends came to see him. From the misery he expressed, they were certain of his guilt, and decided that he was a sinner and deserved what he was experiencing. They were neither helpful, comforting, nor healing, but added greatly to Job's despair and suffering. Let us examine ourselves and see if we are apt to express such friendship. Quote, "Mental malpractice, which holds disease as a reality, fastens disease on the patient, and it may appear in a more alarming form." Close quote. Rather than being friends, they were malpractitioners. Job knew that he was not such a willful sinner as they assumed, and he writhed under their condemnation and false accusations. His belief in God and Satan, good and evil, was chemicalizing. Job was constantly thinking of himself, talking of himself, of the material body and material things, and his troubles. He was self-mesmerized and so filled with fear that he could see no good, no beauty or kindness in anyone or anything. Only evil, disease, and distress. All negative thinking. He then decided that God was unjust, and he rejected the righteous and favored the wicked. Job's thought habits, of which he was the center, were all negative, denying God, denying good, beauty, love, kindness. Thoughts externalize themselves. We surround ourselves with our thoughts. We make them our atmosphere of joy and buoyancy, or depression and despondency, according to the thoughts we accept. Negative thoughts deplete, distress. They rob and cheat us of our God-given heritage of friends and health. A claim of personal good is as great a lie as a claim of personal evil. A claim of mortal life is as great a lie as a claim of mortal death. God is life, and that life is man's life. One of the great crosses Job bore was the belief that he was separated from God, that he was down here on earth in a material body, and God was way up there in heaven, as was evidenced by his great suffering and loss. As a result of his suffering, he was forced to look away from self and seek God, and to understand the oneness of God and man which had begun to unfold to him. His soul, spiritual consciousness, was finding expression. In the book of Job, we find the birth throes of immortality. Do we see what Job needed? He needed a new view of God and man, of everything. Is not this the very important unfoldment that our dear leader has given to us in Christian Science? It is well to often think of this seriously and appreciate what it has meant to us and to the world. Job needed a spiritual awakening, a clear understanding of his true being, his body of divine ideas. Has Christian Science brought this to us? And are we awakening others to this vital truth? Paul said, quote, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Close quote. One cannot see error objectively any more than he can see truth, for there is no error, no mortal mind to produce such phenomena. Truth is not the truth about something. It is all there is to anything and is everywhere. It is all there is to man, to you. It is not the truth about man. It is the true man as God sees him. Job believed in objectivity. Fatherhood, motherhood, children, and possessions were not subjectively his, but were accepted objectively as objects separate from mind, God, and so were liable to tragedy and destruction. He was thinking in terms of externalities, in the objective sense. To an objective sense, tangibility is dependent upon finiteness, on reality. It did not seem to have occurred to Job, to his objective thinking, to question the validity of an externalized presence. He, therefore, accepted the loss of control as actual experience. To him, they were externalities rather than false belief in externalities. When the belief of loss sets in, the dream house crumbles and reveals the insubstantial stuff of which the objective, or mortal thought externalized, is made. In the same state of thought, his health and peace were taken from him. All of his possessions were gone. Then his sons and daughters were destroyed. While he was wrestling with a false sense of possession, evil came in three phases: aggressive suggestion, hypnotism, and mesmerism. Job's God was external, so likewise were the gifts of his God. As children of God, we and our possessions are eternally preserved in perfection, else God's creation would cease to be perfect and complete. During one of the worst newspaper attacks made upon Mrs. Eddy, one of her students said to her, quote, "Mother, what do you think about Mary Baker Eddy?" Close quote. Our leader replied, quote, "As Mary Baker Eddy, I may be the weakest of mortals, but as the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, I am the bones and sinew of the human race." Close quote. Jesus was human, but what he demonstrated was divine. Mrs. Eddy was human, but what she revealed of the spiritual universe and man as God's likeness was divine. The Jews lost their spiritual vision and became nationalists. They were taught to love their kindred, but to hate their enemies. And they considered as their enemies every nation but their own. They had a national God. Job, through pain and suffering, turned from this vicious thought habit and saw the light. He broke through the old theological habits and beliefs and found freedom. In the 42nd chapter of Job, we find an awakening, a spiritualized consciousness, and good began to flow unto him. What a wonderful awakening to his real selfhood and to the understanding of God as a loving Father and life as immortal. There was renewed humility, meekness, faith, and love. When awakened from the mesmeric sense of things to the spiritual and real, Job found that man, his surroundings, his substance, were spiritual and eternal, and that he had an unlimited supply of all good. He was blessed with a family and greater material riches than he had previously possessed. The understanding of our spiritual sonship unfolds to us our divine heritage of the unlimited supply of every need.